Der Energy Star Talk. Eure Stars im Interview.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Energy Star Talk Folge. Heute mit meiner Wenigkeit Patrick und mit einem großartigen Künstler, Singer, Songwriter. Ich war sehr hyped, als ich erfahren habe, dass ich ihn treffen darf. Ist so ein kleiner Wunsch, der da in Erfüllung ging. Keinen geringeren nämlich als Dan Smith, Frontmann und Leadsänger von Bastille. Wir haben ihn getroffen im Backstage hier vor einem exklusiven Geheimkonzert in Deutschland. Und wir hatten eine Menge Themen zu bereden. Natürlich erstmal so das Offensichtliche. Wie gefällt es ihm denn hier in Deutschland? Er ist ja schon mal öfter hier. Was unterscheidet vielleicht auch uns deutsche Fans von denen in England? Und wir haben auch sehr viel über das neue Bastille-Album gesprochen. Ampersand heißt es und kommt am 25. Oktober raus. Das alles und noch viel mehr in der neuen Energy Star Talk Folge.
First of all, welcome to Hamburg.
Thank you very much.
And welcome to Energy. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's been around, I think, 1 year. You've been here the last time when you played a concert at Stadtpark Open Air. Mm-hmm. But you've been in Germany and especially in Hamburg so many times. Is there anything you like, especially about Hamburg, being in Hamburg and playing shows here?
That is a good question. I guess we've just had a really great run of shows here. So we have amazing associations with it. In our minds, we always think of the show at the Elbphilharmonie, yeah, with the orchestra, which was amazing. But last year was really fun too. Yeah, I guess both Hamburg and Germany, like, we have toured a lot here and had a really great time. The audiences have always been amazing. We've been so lucky. Obviously, the food here is great. The city's amazing. So many steeples.
Yeah.
But it's always great to be here and have a wander around. What about you? What's your favorite thing about Hamburg?
Mine?
And you can't say your family.
No. My family isn't here.
Okay.
I moved here 1.5 years ago. I think it's the water.
The water.
I love the Elbe and Alster we have.
The ports and all that. Yeah, there's so much space on water. It's brilliant.
Did you do some sightseeing here?
A little bit, yeah. But today we just got in. So no. What should we do if I've got 1 hour? From here, where would you go?
You can go out to the park, Plattenblom.
The park looks amazing.
Yeah.
And the station is such an amazing building.
Yeah, it is.
That's literally me saying what I've seen. But
okay. It's actually not the main station.
Yeah,
it's a smaller one. But yeah, it's very cool.
Cool. So the water is your favorite thing?
Yeah. You can go like 15 minutes and you're at the Binnenalster. It's a little lake.
Nice.
It's very beautiful.
Do you do paddleboarding and kayaking and stuff?
Yeah, you can. Or stand-up paddling.
Yeah.
It's perfect for the summertime.
Nice. Okay. Great.
Now, talking about Germany in general, you have such a huge fan base here. Germany loves Bastille. Would you say there are differences between fans from Germany and maybe fans from UK and US?
That's a good question. I don't know. I feel like at Bastille shows, we're very lucky. The crowds always know all the words and they seem very smart and thoughtful and engaged with the music. Mm. We always try and write about slightly odd topics and things that are a bit different, and so I'm always really excited to get to play to a room full of people that want to engage with that, as well as just singing along and jumping along. So that's, yeah, it's great. I guess I don't want to generalize, but in a lot of our shows in Germany, the crowds are just very loud in a good way, in like a supportive way.
Okay.
So we feel so lucky to have been able to tour here as much as we have.
Perfect. We always love when you come here and play shows.
Thank you. That's great.
Now let's get to your new album. It's a lot about storytelling. Mm-hmm. And there's an interesting thing you do. You talk in every song, you talk about two topics or two things.
Yeah.
And you connect them with the Ampersand. And your mm-hmm. album is also called Ampersand. What was the idea behind that?
I love writing as other people, you know. I like imagining stories, but also using stories of people that I think are fascinating. So with this album, yeah, that was the idea, really. It was to make something, for me, something sort of intimate and small and thoughtful. It kind of nods to loads of the music that I love, a lot of folk music, a lot of cinematic music as well. I love writing songs, and for me, having something to think about or a world to inhabit is really fun. And I guess some of the songs are about couples, some of the songs are about creative people and their ideas. You know, Blue Sky and the Painter is about Edvard Munch, the painter, and his relationship with depression, because obviously it's very hard to live with, but it also, if it wasn't for that, he says he wouldn't have been able to create the amazing pictures and the amazing paintings and the amazing artworks that he made. So I think that's really interesting. For me, I'm a bit of a nerd. I'm a bit of a geek. So I love sort of reading and watching and listening to stories of other people. And it was an excuse for me to make a record in my free time that was very different to Bastille, but also allowed me to learn about all these different people. I think sometimes when you're touring and when you make an album and you talk about it a lot and you play the same songs every night, for me, I can feel like my brain is rotting a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so this album has allowed me to learn to play the guitar and to work with, you know, an amazing set of people and to learn about these incredibly impressive people from history, some of whom are really famous, some of whom are legendary, and some of whom have been forgotten. And I guess, you know, it's really easy to be kind of up in our own heads and get kind of go down the rabbit hole of your own life. And so the thing I love about songs about other people or books or films is how it takes you into somebody else's life and allows you to hopefully see the world from a different perspective. And so that was part of it for me.
Okay. The album will be finally out on 25th October.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, but you already released a part one, including four songs. Mm-hmm. Why did you decide to split the album?
Well, I guess the album's quite long and I wanted, I guess I was excited to put something out in part one that's four songs that are very intimate and kind of beautiful and restrained and quiet. And I wanted them to sit there so people could kind of have a bit of a mental reset. It's very different to the last Bastille music we released. And it's a different project. You know, we as a band are having a year off. This is me making something a bit different. And so I liked the idea of having this first part out as a bit of a reset. Mm-hmm. And I guess I want people to be able to live with the songs for a minute before we put out the next batch.
Okay.
But yeah, there's two more coming out next week or the week after, mm-hmm. and they're very different again. So I think it's part of hopefully for me, people get to sit with the story for a bit and sit with the songs. Yeah.
Okay. What would you say? Why is it different? Why did you decide to make the music different to the old Bastille albums and songs?
Well, every Bastille album we've approached differently, and as a band, we're really obsessed with wanting to change things up. You know, the first two albums we made with our friend in a tiny basement, they're all kind of concept albums as well. And so, you know, the last album, Give Me the Future, was like a big widescreen science fiction, electronic sort of fantasy. But yeah, I guess this was an album that I'd been writing for a couple of years. And, you know, in our time off, I just picked up these songs again and I loved it. And I sort of just made the music for me, really. I was working on these songs at the kitchen table at home. There was a lot of normality. I kind of wrote it a little bit like how I wrote the first album, you know, in and amongst life happening rather than being on tour and being on the road. And in terms of making it differently, I guess it's a lot more, there's loads of real instruments, there's no electronics on the whole album. Okay. And I wanted sort of all the vocals to be much more restrained. It was just fun to challenge myself to do it really differently.
Okay. Now all songs are about two things. Mm. What are two things you couldn't live without personally?
Oh my gosh. Oxygen and water.
Okay.
And my phone.
Your phone?
Yeah.
Are you phone addicted? What'd you say?
I am horrendously addicted to my phone. Okay. We sing about it all the time, but yeah.
Okay.
It's the true love of my life.
You've had so many big hits like Pompeii, Happier of the Night. Would you say there is one thing, one recipe maybe, you found out to make a song a hit?
No idea. I've got no idea. I mean, Pompeii is about, you know, the victims of a massive volcano explosion. Hundreds of years ago. Of the Night is a mix of two songs from the 90s that I remember hearing on the radio when I was a kid. Like Happier was a song I wrote, you know, for somebody else, you know, and gave to a DJ. Like you never know. I have no idea. I think as a writer, I want melodies that make me excited and make me feel that thing inside. And I And lyrically, I always just write sad shit, man.
Okay.
And try and tell stories. Yeah.
Yeah. And it works.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
Now you make music for like 14 years as Bastille.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Bad Blood was...
2013,
yeah. Now, thinking of people like me also grew up listening to your songs.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
It's very surreal. I mean, it's really amazing. Last year, we re-released Bad Blood 10 years on, and it was amazing to see the audiences at the shows. You know, it's a real mix of people who were probably like students when it first came out, mm-hmm. and then people who would have been kids when it came out. Because I kind of have always made music at home and sort of written for myself, I still can't quite get my head around the idea that people who I don't know, it still blows my mind that people like our music and come to our shows, and it's amazing and it's a privilege. And the fact that our audience is such a massive mix of ages is incredible. And I think, you know, how people find music and digest music is so different. And now, I think... our manager said something really interesting a couple of years ago that's like, it's not about what's new anymore, it's about what's new to you. So it's like where you find it, what the association is. And it blows my mind that we have a few songs that like most people know. But I think the one thing that I'm really happy about is I never wanted to really be a famous person, and I'm not. Like we have songs that people know, and I think some people have heard of our band, but... you know, my life is pretty normal and boring, which is fantastic. I get to just write songs all the time and write for TV shows and write for film and for other people. And that's, you know, that's, I'm so, so fucking lucky. Yeah.
You can be. Now you're in Germany in the context of the German Radio Award. What would you say? Is radio still a big player in, sharing music and maybe getting famous for artists?
I don't know about getting famous, but like... you know, I stream a lot of music, but I also still have the radio on all the time when I'm at home. It's, I think, while there have been loads of changes in the landscape of how people find music and digest it, like obviously, like social media is massive, TikTok, like Instagram, like how people discover songs. I guess it depends where you're looking, but people still have radio on in the car. People still like have radio on at home. It's still really important. And I think we still look to people that we like to listen to and that we trust to direct us towards new music. I think it's still, you know, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't still.
That's true. Now talking about Head Down, our listeners really love Head Down.
Amazing.
We play it so often.
No
Can
way.
You
That's
tell
so
us what it is about and how you got to write the song?
Oh God, I can't remember. I wrote the song in Sweden. Mm-hmm. I was in Sweden for a couple of days to do some writing for some other people and wrote this song for Lost Frequencies. And it was about, I think I was just thinking about when it's almost like the advice of someone that cares about you, you know, when you are, when we wrote the song, I had this really bad cold. I was I sounded like I didn't have a throat. I was so bunged up, and I was in Sweden for these 2 or 3 days in this hotel room, just feeling awful. And I was like running with snot. It was very gross. Mm. And I turned up at this session and I called before and was like, look, I'm really sorry. I'm quite ill. And I don't like, I totally get that you wouldn't necessarily want me to be there because it's a little studio. And they were like, nah, come. So I went. And I guess because my head was such a cloud, I guess it became a song just about, I guess just encouraging someone to not give up. I always find myself writing these quite sort of bleak but hopeful songs. And getting to work on it with Lost Frequencies was really fun. You know, trying to make a drop that felt big, but I don't know, it's got this kind of euphoric feel, but it's also kind of sad. Mm. It was a lot of fun to work on. And I did the vocals in my kitchen.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy. We can't hear it out. It's like it was in the studio.
Testament to my kitchen, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. We're really hyped for the new album.
Thank you.
We hope to see you on tour soon again.
Yeah, thanks, man.
And thank you for taking the time.
Thanks so much. Thanks for playing Head Down and thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Der Energy Star Talk, einer von vielen Energy Original Podcasts. Noch mehr Infos findet ihr auf energy.de.